Are you crazy? I mean, what would possess you to do something like that?
Have you ever heard those words before?
Yep.
Now, if you're a parent, you've probably said those words before. When you walked in and saw a picture something like this, you walk into the room and your children have this empty squeeze bottle of honey and an empty feather pillowcase sack, you know, and they've just created new textures all over the wall. You know how it goes. You walk into the room and it's an immediate shock. Your heart just stops for a split second. You're like, you start assessing the damage. And then you look down into those big wide eyes and they look up at you and they say, "Isn't it pretty, Daddy?" And in that moment, you have a choice to make. I have to confess, I have made the wrong choice in that moment.
Are you crazy? I mean, what would possess you to do that?
Oh, and then you see the light dim just a little bit in their eyes because you've crushed their spirit. It hurts, doesn't it? When we're accused of doing something evil, when all we were trying to do is something good. It happens to us all the time. As a matter of fact, my daughter, who just graduated last week, she was telling me a story about something that happened in high school right at the end. And it's a story that happens all the time in our high schools, in our junior highs, middle schools. She's walking down the hall, and she sees a guy that she's been friends with for a long time, and she says, "Hi." And he says, "Hi." You know, like civilized human beings do when they greet one another. But then what happens? The girlfriend happens. She slaps him, like, "What were you talking to that girl?" And the next thing you know, they start trash talking, and this innocent person who just said hi is suddenly blacklisted as being evil. That hurts. That is unfair. But it happens all the time. And that's what's happening in our gospel lesson to Jesus. So I want you to, if you haven't already, take your Bible, open up to Mark chapter 3. Now, as you're going there, I need to stop for a second and I need to paint with some broad strokes and talk about why we're going back to the beginning of Jesus' story again. I mean, didn't we just get to the end of the story and now we're going back to the beginning of Mark? Well, the reason we're doing that is because, as I said earlier, today we're beginning this new series, and we're beginning a new season of the church year. I love the fact, let's go to this next picture, I love the fact that the church calendar is color-coded. This helps me a lot. And so I want to see if we can just remember where we've been over this year. The church calendar really starts back in November with this blue zone. What do we call that blue zone? That's Advent, right, as we anticipate. And then we come to the 12 days of Christmas, which is a white zone, right? Is it? Christmas is white. And then right after Christmas, we have this little green zone that's called ordinary time, and it lasts for a few weeks. And then we come into the purple zone, and that is what we call Lent, which leads up to the grand climax of the year where we celebrate Easter. The resurrection of Jesus. Now, Easter is a 7-week red zone that ends with this celebration of the 50 days, which we call Pentecost, or the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church. And then last Sunday was the celebration of Trinity, which brings us to today. Today begins the green zone that we call ordinary time. It's summertime. It's the time where theoretically, we slow down a little bit. It's the time where we let the warm sun just spill all around us, and we go about life in our everyday spaces. And we go back to the beginning of Jesus' story, and we look at Jesus' life and his teachings, and we see how Jesus interacting in his everyday life, how it impacts our everyday life. And so we're naming this series this summer, Do the Ordinary, Meeting God in everyday spaces. So that's why we're going back. So do you get it? Good. All right, now let's get into today's story. Let's go back now to Mark chapter 3, and we'll see what's going on in Jesus' life. Now, Jesus is being accused by two different groups of people. First of all, his family. Notice his family has caught wind that the leaders are angry with Jesus, and they're coming after him. And so his family goes out, and they try to rein Jesus in. Now, they're like, okay, Jesus, you know, you've had your fun. Come on in. And I think there's some mixed motives going on with Jesus' family here. Because part of them authentically wants to protect him from being harmed by the religious leaders. But there's another part of it, I think, where they're like, oh boy, who let Jesus out of the house this time and what's he done now? You know, because, well, you know, thinks he's God and all that. It's like, come on, Jesus. Come on, let's go back home. His family thinks he's crazy. And then there's the religious leaders. They come down to Jesus and they say, what would possess you to do the things you're doing? And then they answer their own question. We know exactly what would possess you. Satan would possess you to do the things you're doing. You're in league with Beelzebub. That's how you're doing all these things. Jesus is totally misunderstood. His family thinks he's crazy. The religious leaders think he's possessed by Satan. Can you imagine how that must have hurt Jesus? I wonder if we've been in those situations ourselves. I think we can learn a couple lessons from at this moment because we've been on both sides of this equation. It's really easy for us to pass judgment on people that we don't understand. This happens a lot with young pastors who are trying to do new kinds of ministries. And people look at them and they go, you can't do that. You can't dress like that. You can't say those things. You can't have tattoos. You can't play that kind of music. You can't let those people into church. And you call yourself a Christian. That's exactly what the religious leaders were doing to Jesus. Or maybe you've been on the other side, the receiving end of those criticisms. I can tell you right now, as a young pastor trying to do new things, it is one of the most painful experiences. After pouring your heart and soul into something, to get that email that says, you are sinful, or you are evil. Hurts. So how do we deal with it? What do we do? I love what Jesus did and how he responded to the religious leaders. You can follow along with me, but I'm going to paraphrase what he said. He looks at them and he goes, really? So what you're saying is I'm casting out demons because I'm in league with Satan. You might want to rethink that logic a little bit. I mean, that just doesn't work, does it? I mean, how long would Satan last if Satan's casting out Satan? The truth is, I have overcome evil with good. And how dare you accuse me of evil when I am doing the work of God? I mean, that grieves God's heart. You see what's going on here? I mean, what has Jesus been doing? We haven't even really addressed that issue. Look back in Mark chapter 1 and 2. If you scan through the headings in there, you'll see this evil work that Jesus has been doing is he's been healing the sick. He's been casting out demons. He's been touching the outcasts and restoring relationships. He's been doing good. He's been doing the work of God that everybody should be doing. But the religious leaders, all they can see, he's working on the Sabbath. He's hanging out with those people. How could that possibly be good? You know why I think they misunderstood Jesus? It's because Jesus broke the rules. He did not follow the religious rules. Because the religious leaders of his day, they said, God is inside of this box. And we meet God inside of this box. And all of those people who are outside of the box, that's where they're supposed to be. And if they wanted God, they would come into the box. Well, that's not how Jesus did it. Jesus went outside the box, and he met people in ordinary places where they live. Let me ask you this. Where do we meet God? Do we meet God, or some people would say that you meet God right here in church, right? This is the place to meet God because this is the house of the Lord, right? Granted, that's good. But then there's other people who say, you know, God is everywhere. I can meet God anywhere I am. So why do I need to go to church? Which one of those is right? I think they're both right, and they're both wrong. Because we meet God in both spaces, but in different ways, for different reasons. You see, the first thing is that we meet God in this, we need to meet God in this space, but not because this is where God lives. We meet God in this space because God has gathered us to worship the Father, but it's not the building that makes it important, it's the gathering that makes it important. We are gathered around the crucified and resurrected Jesus. We come together around the body of Jesus as a community to be reminded of God's grace. But see, the key is that we're the community gathered by God around the body of Jesus. But then, the Holy Spirit sends us out into the everyday, ordinary spaces of life. But see, the Spirit doesn't just send us out. The Spirit calls us there. Because you know what? The Spirit of God is everywhere. The Spirit of God is moving in people's lives. People that you would never expect. The Spirit of God is kindling people's hearts and speaking to them, and the Spirit calls us to meet God in those spaces to see what God is doing in the world. We gather as the people of God around the body of Christ, and then we're sent out to be the hands and feet of Jesus to meet God in everyday spaces. I just want to give you three simple snapshots of what I'm talking about. What does this look like in Anoka County or up at your cabin this summer? Here's one possible scenario. You're standing on the sidelines of your kid's soccer game or a baseball game or whatever, and there's a group of parents talking. So first step, put your cell phone down, stop playing Angry Birds, and start having a conversation. And when the conversation starts turning into gossip and trash talking about those other parents, start talking good. Take a life-draining situation and make it into a life-giving one. That is just a simple healing touch. Might not sound like much, but it's huge. Or how about this one? Maybe you're out at the park, or you're riding the train down to work in the morning, and you see a person sitting all alone, and they look really, really lonely. What would happen if you got up and you walked over to them, and you just sat down and you said, "How are you today?" And you let them tell you their story. That may be the first time anybody has listened to them in weeks. That's a little touch of restoration. Or what about this? Maybe you're out on your lunch break with your coworkers enjoying the sunshine, and that guy with the cardboard sign walks up to you. What if you said, "Hey man, why don't you join us and I'll split my lunch with you?" Have lunch with him. What would your coworkers think? That's what I'm talking about. my challenge this week is simply this. As you go about in your ordinary spaces, ask God to change your eyes. Ask God to help you see where God is working and how you can join him in people's lives. You know, if we do this, two things are going to happen. One, lives will change. I believe that. It might not be dramatic, but small things add up. Well, the second thing that's going to happen, though, is that people are going to think you're crazy. You know what I say? Let them think it. Because we're in good company. So how about this summer, as we're going into our ordinary spaces, let's get a little crazy. Let's be possessed by the Spirit of God to meet God in all those ordinary spaces. Would you stand with me as we pray together? Well, Father, we come to you through Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you so much for your grace, the new life that you give to us each day and each moment through the grace and the forgiveness that comes through Jesus. Help us to know how to see you in our everyday life. And give us the courage to reach out and touch people, knowing that we ourselves will be changed in the process. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.